So Lord Jesus, as we hear your words now, as Liz speaks from the scripture, and Lord, as I attempt to communicate the things that you've been speaking to me this week, Lord, we pray that you'd open our ears to hear. But God, that you'd open our hearts to be changed, to be shaped and moulded by you. Help us not just to know more about you, but to love you more. Help us today, Jesus, to become more like you. Amen. Thanks, Liz.
John 3, Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. We have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. For whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because there was plenty of water, and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this John replied, "A man can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, 'I am not the Messiah, but I'm sent ahead of him.' The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them."
Thanks very much, Liz. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. They're the words that Jesus says to this guy, Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, as Jesus points out, was all in all, in terms of his stature within society and culture, Nicodemus was a good guy. He was a Pharisee, which meant he was a teacher and an expert in the law. Jesus said, "You yourself are Israel's teacher." You know, he's a smart guy. He's a guy who should have his finger on the pulse. And actually, I've got a bit of a soft spot for Nicodemus, because often the Pharisees, I think, get come off pretty badly in Jesus' interactions. But there's something I love about the way that he comes before Jesus really humbly, in a way that other Pharisees perhaps don't. And he says, "Obviously, Jesus, you're sent from God. Obviously, I can see that." He had eyes to see what it was that God was doing. But in Israel's eyes, this guy Nicodemus was one of the best of the best. He was a smart guy. And so I think Jesus challenges him on a level that maybe he doesn't challenge many others. And so when he asks Jesus about himself, he comes out with this incredible line: "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And Nicodemus, this incredibly intelligent guy who gets it all, doesn't get it. He doesn't know what Jesus is saying. Now, for the Jewish community, birth is something which is very important. Now, obviously, for all of us, it's important, otherwise we wouldn't be here. But if you were a Jew, your identity was sealed in the fact that you were born as a descendant of Abraham. So as a faith community, it wasn't in the same way that it is for us as Christians, because they were born into the faith. They were born into the people of Israel. And so their birth has real kind of power and significance. Maybe it's the same for us too. I am a Harris, and so it's just me with my dad and my brother. We look fairly similar, and we have certain ways of doing things. And we identify, I think many of us, depending probably on our family backgrounds, but we identify strongly with, this is who I am. I was born into this family. And for many of us, that family association and the sense of pride of belonging in that way is really important. But it was even more pronounced, even more clear for the people of Israel, because they belonged to this race, to this people who were descendants of Abraham, that were chosen specifically to be the people of God. And so it shouldn't be a surprise to us that what Jesus says to Nicodemus is a real surprise to him. He says, like, be born again? I mean, because the first question is like, well, how? How is that even possible? But his other thing that I think he's got going on in his head is, why would we want to be born again when we're born into this like privileged position in our society and in our culture? But Jesus challenges all of that. I was really tempted to show a video when I was thinking of being born again. How many of you remember Ace Ventura, Pet Detective? When he's born from a rhino. No? Not seeing that one? A fake rat? Yeah. It's really funny, but check it out on YouTube. But I felt like it was just a little bit too weird to show on a Sunday. But basically, he's hiding in like a mechanical rhino, and he has to escape. And so he's born out of this rhino whilst safari people are watching. And it's brilliant. It's a brilliant scene. Check it out. It is disturbing, though. So being born again, being born into a new family. There's something that Jesus is saying about, okay, people of Israel, we think we've got this sorted. And don't forget, Jesus was part of the people of Israel. He wasn't talking at, he was talking from within. He's saying, look, people, we're not grasping this. If you want to really see the kingdom of God, if you want to see the Father, you have to be born again. It was a revolutionary thing to say. It was a big deal. It was something completely different. And the phrase born again that the way it's sort of translated and the way that we read it can be seen in two different ways. It can be seen as being born for a second time, which I think is the way that we associate with it most often. So you've been born into your family from your mother. We've all been born. We can say that with confidence. But also this about this second time, be born again in some way. But also it can be translated, this born again, as born from above. Born from above. So I think it gives us two helpful ways to think about it. It's a second time, but it's also about being born from above. So it's a second time, but it's different. And I don't know if we've got the image at this point. We might not have, with the two different colours. Yeah, so we talked about this over the last few weeks, this idea that we see this separation between heaven and earth, and there's like a fine line. But what Jesus did was he kind of blurred the boundary. He brought heaven to earth, and he kind of messed up. And that's what we call the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God was no longer sort of isolated in some sort of distant kind of in a place that we couldn't grab hold of. But Jesus brought it, and he said, the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming to earth. And so being born again from above is something about that connection away from our earthly birth into a heavenly or a spiritual birth. I love the song that we sing. There's a kids' song that we sing, Big Family of God. You know the one where you go, you and you and you and you, yeah. I know kids' songs isn't everybody's thing. And I know some people feel really awkward when we do action songs, but that song is brilliant. It's really powerful in what it says, and it forces you. Well, it doesn't force you. You don't have to, but it makes you look at people and go, "You're in God's family. You're in God's family. You and you and you and you. We're part of the big family of God." That is something that we can say because of what Jesus has done. That is something that we can say in a way that we couldn't before Jesus announces this thing of being born again. You can be part of God's family, born into, have a new heritage. So no matter whether you have an incredible family, whether your parents and you have a brilliant relationship, or whether you come from a broken and challenging background, it doesn't matter, because we are born again into a new family and we have our Father, God, there with us. So, then we come across John the Baptist again, the return of John the Baptist in the book of John. And there's a really interesting dialogue going on here, because John the Baptist is still at this point baptizing people, which is interesting in itself, I think. And there's some of the people who are following John the Baptist, because he had disciples as well. Some of the people who are learning from John and his way of doing things were with John on one side of the river. And they were like, that Jesus over there, he's baptizing people too. And they're basically saying, everyone's going to him to get baptized instead of coming to us to get baptized. What's that all about? They're having a grumble, aren't they? It's like the big kind of new church moves into town and someone's like, oh, everybody's going over there to meet with God instead of meeting with God in my church. You know, there's that little kind of bit of grumbling that's emerging from the disciples. Why are they going over to him instead of coming to us? And this is where John, I think, is absolutely incredible, John the Baptist. What an incredible man. Because he's very quick to clear up any kind of confusion that might be going on here with what his disciples and people are thinking. John is very quick to say, this is the man that I told you about, and he is something special. I'm just me, but this guy, this is the one that I told you about. How tempting would it be in that position, opposite sides of the lake, a little competition of numbers, see who can baptize the most people. How tempting must it have been for John to go, yeah, you're right, this isn't fair. This guy's getting all the glory, but he didn't. And John the Baptist communicates with this whole imagery of the baptism. He says, but I'm of earth. He says, I'm of earth. I was sent by God, yes, but I'm human. And I baptize with water. It's a physical thing. I baptize with water and I'm human. Whereas Jesus, he's the one who's from heaven. and from earth. Remember, Jesus, the God-man, God and man, Jesus is from earth and from heaven. And he'll baptize with water and with the Spirit. So we've not got this situation where John's saying, I'm from earth and Jesus is from heaven, and they're two separate things. What John's saying is, look, I've started the ball rolling as God instructed me to. We're baptizing here with water. We're trying to be faithful to what God's called us to. But this guy, Jesus, he's something else. Something I couldn't ever possibly do, because he's baptizing with the power of the Holy Spirit and with water. Because, of course, they were at opposite sides of the river together. And John's humility to be able to say, look, it's not about me. This is the guy. And how hard must that be to do when John has got a pretty good reputation and quite a lot of followers? Very difficult indeed. And so then John says these words like, I must decrease, he must increase. I must become less, he must become more. What John grasps hold of is he has a role to play. John's not taking his bat and ball home and going to sulk, like Leeds fans were this afternoon. Yes. He's not doing that. He's doing the job that God's called him to, and he's committed, but he knows that it's Jesus who's the only one who can give life. He's the only one who can give life. We talked a little bit before about opportunities to serve, and I'm so thankful and amazed at how many hours of hard work we as a church do in serving this community and trying to serve God in the things that he's called us to. It's phenomenal. I wonder, in the areas where you serve, where are the times where you're tempted to try and be the one who gives life? Were you tempted to be the one to say, okay, I can sort you out. I know how to solve this problem. Because John wasn't tempted to do that. What John did was go, he's the one. He's the one who can sort it out for you. And so those of us who are actively involved in mission and serving Jesus and looking for ways to grow the kingdom of God in this community, don't forget to follow the example of John. Don't ever be tempted to think, okay, I can give life here. Because all we've got is a bit of water compared to the baptism of water and the Spirit that Jesus gives. You know, so when you've got teenagers or kids as part of the group that you're trying to serve, and they've got an issue, and you try and solve it without saying to them, like, Jesus has got the answers for this, without praying with them, without turning their face towards the cross, without turning their face towards Christ and saying, he's the one who gives life. Because otherwise, all we do is create dependencies on ourselves. And we all know that we all know our own weaknesses. We all know that we're not good enough to hold all these people, to look after all these people. But Jesus is. Jesus is. So I do hope that we get some more volunteers for the drop-in. I do hope that we get some more volunteers for rock and for kids' work on a Sunday. And if you're one of the people who might be willing to do that, then don't forget that. It's all about pointing to Jesus. He's the one who gives life. And so baptism is the way that in the church for generations and generations, following on from Jesus' example, that we celebrate this new birth, this new life. Ah, that's one of my favourite baptism pictures of all the ones we've taken over the years. I like, it's the way the water's like cascading down. There's like some movement in there. It's good. So we, on Easter Sunday, every year we do baptisms. And one of the things that I love about the way we do it is that it's in a birthing pool. Okay? So we're talking about second, but we haven't welcomed the new baby yet. Fantastic. I meant to mention that just before. We've been praying for you guys the last few weeks. But a massive welcome to Esther and to Anya and Steve. Let's actually just pause and pray for them now while we think of this. Lord, we thank you so much for Esther and for her safe arrival. And Lord, we pray for Steve and for Anya and for Esther as they work out how to live in this new existence, how to sleep and feed and all those things. Lord Jesus, we pray that you'd pour your blessings on them. You'd fill them with your Spirit. Let them know your peace, your love, your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. So we do baptisms in birth pools. You know, that second birth, that birth from above. And baptisms are that symbol, but more than a symbol, of that choice to... Now, when we talk about baptisms, people talk about new life and new birth. Correct. But you can't skip over the bit that is the donkey under the water. And that represents death. Exactly. Dying to self. Saying, actually, you know what? I've had my agenda all this time, but actually, I'm going to die to my agenda. I'm going to die to my wants and needs as you go under the water and to be lifted out and say, following the pattern of Jesus, I'm going to rise again to new life, to new birth in the way that Jesus has called me to. Being baptized with the water and with the Holy Spirit. So it's physical and spiritual. It's both. It's our whole beings. And so we're going to be doing that this Easter Sunday. I wonder if there are people here who haven't yet been baptized who'd say, okay, I'm ready to make that difficult choice. It is a difficult choice to say, I'm willing to die to myself. I choose to be risen again to life in Christ for his sake and for his purposes. And the life that Jesus offers here when he says you need to be born again, this life that Jesus offers, you can't get it from your family. You can't get this life for being good, for being kind and generous. You can't get it from that. You can't achieve this new life, this new birth from coming to church. This isn't, you just can't do it. I will even say you can't achieve and get this new life from being dunked under the water on Easter Sunday. It only comes from Jesus. It only comes from Jesus. I've said a number of times before, we're nothing without him. We are absolutely 100% dependent on him. Our society does not understand the joy of being dependent on something else. It's seen as weakness, but it's not. It's not. So I wonder maybe if some of you here might want to nudge me at some point in the next few weeks and say, I'm interested in getting baptized. I'd love to have a conversation with you. But for those who've been baptized already, what matters is not that you were born again, but are you alive today? Oh, yeah. What matters not is that you were born, but the question is, are you alive? I remember distinctly when Caleb was born. I don't know if you guys have had this experience. I remember distinctly just repeating to him over and over again, I'm so proud of you. This little thing, like, I'm so proud of you. You've done so well. If Caleb's 18 years old, and I'm saying to you, I'm so proud of you for being born. You did so well. You know, you squeezed out of there and, you know, caused all that problem. And, you know, that would be a significantly disappointing thing for me to be, like, have as at the forefront of my mind is, I'm so proud that you were born. When's the last time someone said to you, well done for being born. You did so well. You did great. We don't do it, do we? The question is, are we alive today in Christ, those of us who've given our lives to him? And I think there are some ways, I think we need to check our vital signs. That's what we do, isn't it, when we're checking our health. And I think, just want to propose to you, there's three things that I want to question. Is the Spirit flowing through your veins? This is one of your vital signs. Is the Holy Spirit flowing through your veins? How do we know? Do you hear from him? Can you hear the word of God? Do you see him at work in the world around you? Are you aware of the presence of the Spirit? Because if he's with you, then I think you become aware of what he's doing in the world around you. Are you aware of his presence in your workplace, within your home? Are you seeing what God's doing? Don't forget, God is active. What is the Spirit doing? Are you aware of it? If you are filled with the Spirit, have the Spirit in your veins, then I believe that you see those things. Secondly, is your heart beating with the love of the Father? Are you compassionate and gentle at the moment? Are you on edge? Are you prickly? Are you energized? Are you motivated to give yourself for the sake of others? To give yourself for the sake of God's kingdom? Are you energized to give yourself to this family and beyond to which we belong? Do you have a heart that's beating with the love of the Father? And then finally, is Jesus' name on your lips? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are you so in love with God and all that he's done and is doing and all that he is that you just can't help but talk about him in your everyday life? What matters not is that you were born, but are you still alive today? And maybe for some of us, we just need a little bit of spiritual first aid today. Maybe some of us need some surgery, I don't know. But maybe this is a chance to say, okay, like I've been born again into your family, Jesus, but I'm feeling like I'm drained. I don't have the spirit in my veins. I don't feel the love of the Father flowing out of me. I've not spoken about Jesus in I can't remember how long. Maybe that's where there's no condemnation in Christ. We're not saying, yeah, you're bad for doing this. What we're saying is, look, this is an opportunity today to get these things sorted with Jesus. To remind ourselves that it can't come from us. The life only comes from Jesus. So we can ask him and say, Jesus, give us, please. And he does. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not die, but have eternal life.